And as you may have heard this last hour, when we began the hour, some of the headlines that Mike Brennan had at MI Tech News had to do with security. And I would go as far as to say that 2014 for me, in many years, was the year of the hack. Capital letters. Let's bring our guest who is going to be with us for this hour into the studio now and into the spotlight, if you will. Richard Steenen is with us. Richard, good to have you back again.
Great to be here. As always, Foster.
Richard is our local security expert, not just local, but you're involved very much in terms of, as president of IT Harvest, you are kind of at a place of gathering all that information from around the world and your colleagues about security.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I do every day, you know, throughout the year, is talk to people about their security or talk to vendors about their solutions for it. And I try and get as involved as I can with the policymakers who are trying to figure out, you know, what are they going to do about this?
So did we see more hacks this last year, or were they just bigger? It seemed like
the numbers are bigger for breaches.
Yeah. Every year it seems like we're saying, okay, this was the year of the breach.
Yeah, actually,
and
I
next
saw a
year
review
will be
article.
The year of the breach.
I saw a review article that showed every year who said it, this was the year of the breach. And for the last 3 years running, some, you know, major online news site has said this is the year of the breach. So for sure, 2015 is going to be the year of the breach.
Well, I have a dark theory on that I want to get to. But I mean, just in Mike's report coming out of San Francisco, Home Depot, J.P. Morgan, Target, there were more than that, I think.
Oh, there were a lot more.
Sony, good Lord, Sony, that colossal hit there. Huge numbers that have been, I think it's the numbers that have numbed us. And the last one from Sony, and I get you guys' reaction to this. My sense, the thing that underlined it for me was the completeness of the hack. It wasn't just emails or anything. It was everything. This took their servers and dumped it into a paste bin.
100 terabytes of data that they claim they stole, and we've seen evidence that they have a lot of emails. They've obviously got full feature-length movies that they've stolen and released.
Movie ideas, contracts, personal notes back and forth. I mean, can you guys, Ed and Cal, can you imagine that happening, for instance, at GM where you are?
Yeah, but it would be so boring because Ed and I's mail has nothing exciting at all in it.
Well, and Richard, I'm curious because you would think that they would have had to steal a lot of passwords to be able to get into those servers because they should all be segmented, right? Those should all be different different servers, different passwords.
Oh, wouldn't that
He's
be
grinning,
nice?
Folks. He's grinning.
That wouldn't be best practice to use kind of.
Well,
the
trouble
is, one is your password for everything,
The trouble is on Windows-based enterprises, which is 99% of all enterprises, they're totally vulnerable to something called pass the hash. So all you need is one password of a domain administrator, and you get into that system, and then you just pass the hash. You use the last time they logged in to get to the rest of the servers. So you just keep moving.
Scary. That's scary. Is it fair to say, though, that we have really seen a different kind? I think Mike was talking about it, that this is like the cartels get level.
Yeah.
This is like organized crime level.
Well, this was the way it played out seems to be an evolution of what happened to Stratfor a couple years ago and HB Gary. So those were technology companies that got the attention of Anonymous, and guys just got in, got to their servers, and then started leaking everything. So it's like that, but it's targeted for a real specific purpose, right? Do damage to Sony.
Do we have that same sort of vulnerability on servers that are Unix-based?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, if they're protected by passwords. So not the pass-the-hash kind of vulnerability, but once you get the passwords. And unfortunately, with all the Unix servers, everybody tends to use, you know, standard default passwords inside the organization. They don't change them very often because so many people are touching them.
Now, Richard, you deal on the international level. I mean, is there an international awareness that we got to do something else? Is there kind of a concerted plan for at these top levels guarding themselves?
So there's attempts, you know. So back in about 2003, there was actually a cybercrime treaty that was created. And then pretty much all of the Western nations have signed up to it. And all of the opposing nations, in particular China and Russia, have objected to it because it sure sounded like they were, you know, treading on their sovereignty. And, of course, they want to control their own internet for their own people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've only had 11 years of trying to get that to happen. And then each country has come up with their own cyber strategy, which is, like ours, worded very high level and no actual details about what to do. So, you know, we're working on it. But the biggest development of all was Sony, right? So of all the talk of nation state attacking, and we've certainly had China involved in cyber espionage around the world, The U.S., like yesterday or the day before, actually imposed sanctions on North Korean, you know, members of their army. And that's the first time anyone's ever applied international sanctions for a cyber attack. So history was made.
So how do we know it was them?
Big debate.
It was somebody that was just, that was sympathetic to...
Sure, or an insider, or a combination. An insider had the stuff and passed it off to cyber criminals, who passed it off to whatever. Most of my peers are coming down on, no, the FBI doesn't know what they're doing, because if you've ever worked with the FBI, you don't really feel comfortable with their technical savvy. But the FBI, this is the first time that the FBI has ever attributed an attack to a nation. Right, so they've done the original sequester of people in China, but this is the first time they said this attack came from that country and we're going to take action. And they cited other security, national intelligence resources.
They've never been wrong.
Well, you're saying your colleagues are saying we don't believe that.
Tongue in cheek.
Yes, yeah.
But I am, I've stopped doubting the U.S. government's ability to do hacking, because we do know that they've got access to most of the information that passes across the cable networks, undersea cables. Mm-hmm. And that would give them the ability to finally have true attribution. And if they use that in this, which apparently that's what they're claiming they did, they've been tracking the perpetrators for years and years, and they're saying these same guys did it.
Ed, how do they move or copy 100 terabyte of data without anyone knowing about it? I mean, you would think that they have to go inside the corporation's network. You would think that they would have just pegged the network and brought it down to its knees. As all this data is flying out of the corporation, certainly there must have been some bells and whistles going off.
And all different servers.
All different servers.
Yeah. Apparently, since all the leaked files have the same dates, time and dates on them, mm-hmm. they were probably stored on a single server. So as they collected it, they stored it in one place. I would say that they would have encrypted it. And then just streamed it out, because, we're talking about Sony Pictures. File transfers are pretty normal.
You would have not seen the capacity grow on that server?
Oh, gosh, yeah. If they were doing any monitoring, anybody would have been able to see this.
That's the question.
Obviously, and we actually know about their security, because one of the leaked documents was PricewaterhouseCoopers audit of their security.
Oh, jeez.
And just from reading between the lines, you realize that their security is real old school. We're doing SIM. We're monitoring various.
They
devices.
Hadn't paid attention to warnings that had been given to them, had they? And they had the PlayStation. No. The PlayStation hack had happened earlier in the year.
PlayStation hack. They got their first CISO after the PlayStation hack, which actually occurred a couple of years before. But in February, an attack against one of their distributors or something, theaters in Brazil, they decided to ignore because, they just lost emails and there's no law saying that they had to tell people about it. So they've been having problems all summer long.
Cal, before we go to the break, you have a question.
Well, there was no saying that whatever a man can create, a man can break. So how do you encrypt something that no one can de-encrypt?
Yeah, we've got some really good encryption. There is definitely encryption that at least the community believes.
That's a positive note that I want to get to in just a minute. We're going to be going to a break shortly. So, Rich, after the break, let's come back and talk about some of the things we can do to protect ourselves. And in particular, we've got somebody coming in who is, matter of fact, you know him very well. We're talking about security and personal security. And Ridgely Evers will be with us to talk about TrustPipe, where for $5 a year, you can really heave a sigh of relief and know that you're well taken care of. All that continuing on this first hour of 3 hours of a special Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown. Thank you so much for joining us on this brand new year, 2015.